first for the New York Mets. Leading off and playing center field will be Billy Cowan. Batting second and playing second base, Billy Bobby Klaus. Batting third and playing third base, Charlie Smith. Joe Christopher in right field. He'll be batting cleanup. Ron Swoboda in left field, batting fifth. Jim Hickman playing at first base, batting sixth. Roy McMillan at shortstop, batting seventh. Chris Carazzaro, the catcher, batting eighth. And Warren Spahn, batting ninth. For the Dodgers, it'll be Maury Wills leading off and playing shortstop. Jim Gilliam in left field, batting second. Batting third and playing at first base, Wes Parker. Ron Fairley playing center field, batting fourth. Johnny Roseboro, the catcher, batting fifth. Jim LaFever, batting sixth, playing second base. Al Pilar playing in right field, batting seventh. Nick Krasuski playing at third base, batting in the eighth position. And Sandy Koufax, the pitcher, batting in the ninth position. The umpires for this ball game will be Ed Vargo at home plate, Chris Pelikoudis at first base, Paul Flyer at second base, Bill Jakowski will be at third base. So now here's Lindsay with another unusual fact from the Viceroy Hall of Records.
Well, here's what happened one 4th of July when the weather provided the fireworks. It was back in 1933 in Gallup, New Mexico. A game was held up because it was just too hot to play ball. Then 2 hours later, the same game was called off completely. Hot weather? No, sir. A snowstorm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale pitching for the first time in the doubleheader, first time in the history of the Dodgers, and this should mark something special on Father's Day. It's a good crowd at hand. The predictions that it might be one of the top crowds of the season. The bleachers are completely filled. Out of the far corner, still fans filling in the area out toward the far left field and right field areas in the upper deck. This ballpark holds right around 52,000 people. Giants and Dodgers had over 52,000 in a recent series this week. Of course, the top crowd in the major leagues this year was when the New York Mets played at Shea Stadium on Sunday. That day they drew 57,175 people. Now the Dodgers are taking the field. Dodgers currently in first place by 3.5 games over the Milwaukee Braves. In third place, Cincinnati, they trail by 4. And then San Francisco in fourth place, 5.5 games back. Dodgers have won 41 and lost 24. The Mets have won 21 and lost 43. This broadcast comes to you through the courtesy of Rheingold Breweries Incorporated, Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation, and the Shell Oil Company, and is authorized under radio rights granted by the New York Mets solely for the entertainment of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the New York Mets is prohibited. Well, the Mets also playing one of the unusual doubleheaders here in Los Angeles. The Dodgers scheduling mainly single ball games. They like to play night games on Saturday night, and of course the league rules prevent a doubleheader after a night game. The Dodgers playing a day game last Saturday, yesterday as far as that's concerned. So Sandy Koufax, one of the top left-handers in the history of baseball, opposing the man who statistically is the top left-hand pitcher in the history of baseball, Warren Spahn. And now as this game is about to get underway, here is Lindsey Nelson.
Thank you very much, Ralph Connor, and hello again, everybody. As Billy Cowan steps in, we're set for a Father's Day doubleheader here at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. And what a doubleheader. Four of the top pitchers in the history of this game scheduled to go today. And in the first one, it's Koufax against Spahn. And the second one, Drysdale against Larry. Here's the pitch to the right-hand batter, and it's low for a ball. Koufax, Drysdale, Spahn, and Larry have won a total of 761 Major League games in their combined careers. Billy Cowan is hitting 181. He has one home run and three runs batted in. Here's the pitch, and it's in for a call strike. Cowan is scheduled to be honored between games here today by a delegation from his hometown of Bakersfield, California. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. 1-2. Sandy Koufax, so far this year, has won 10 games and he has lost 3. Native of Brooklyn. He's 29 years of age now. And the pitch is low for a ball. A breaking ball. It's 2-2. Against the Mets this year, Koufax has won 2 and he's lost none. His lifetime record against the Mets, 11-9. The Mets have never been able to beat Sandy Koufax. Here's the pitch, and it's swung on and fouled back out of play. Don Drysdale, who will pitch the second game, has a lifetime record against the Mets of 16-1. So that Drysdale and Koufax combined have a lifetime record against the Mets of 27 wins and one loss. This is a 2-2 delivery. Swung on and fouled back, so the count holds at 2-2. Bobby Clouse is waiting in the on-deck circle for the Mets. It was overcast all morning long, and it is still partially overcast here. The sun is trying to break through, but has not shown through in its full brilliance as yet. Now the pitch. Swung on and foul back again as Billy Cowan continues to distribute the souvenirs around the ballpark here. As you know, the Mets played yesterday afternoon in San Francisco and then came on down following the conclusion of the game yesterday. It's 2-2 pitch. Foul back again off the screen and out of play. Yesterday, the Giants sent Juan Marichal against the Mets. It was a 2-1 ball game. The Giants winning by a score of 2-1. Jack Fisher pitched a fine ball game for the Mets in a losing cause yesterday. So it's Marichal, Koufax, and Drysdale in order that the Mets are facing. Here's a swing and a looper going out to second base. Jim LaFever goes back, now comes in and makes the catch. Just a little looper, and LaFever went back a step on the outfield grass and then had to hustle and made the catch near the edge of the infield grass. Cowan pops up, one away, and Bobby Clouse is the batter. Clouse is hitting 206 with one home run and 8 runs batted in. In the lineup at second base against left-hander Sandy Koufax, it's likely that Chuck Hiller, who bats left, will be in the lineup against Drysdale in the second game. Here's a pitch, and it's in there for a strike. Yogi Berra on the coaching lines at first base for the New York Mets, and Don Hefner is the coach at third. Here's a pitch high. Much was said in the press room and on the field before the ball game, in good humor, about the fact that the Mets' record on Father's Day is not too good. It was last Father's Day that Jim Bunning of the Phillies pitched a perfect game against the Mets at Shea Stadium. Here's a pitch low, and it's two balls and one strike. And as Ralph Kanter pointed out, this is the first time in the history of the Dodgers, first time in the history of the Major League careers of Kovacs and Drysdale, they ever have pitched a doubleheader together. Here's a swing and a foul ball back, and Roseberry gets rid of the mask. He is near the screen, and he makes the catch. Crowd has popped out, fouled out for the catcher. Away, and Charlie Smith is the batter coming up. Charlie's hitting 271. He has 8 home runs and 26 runs batted in. In 12 lifetime starts against the Mets, Sandy Koufax has pitched 99 innings and has allowed 11 runs for an earned run average of 1.0. Breaking ball, and it's low. 1-0. In his two starts this season, Koufax won by scores of 2-1 and 5-0. Pitch is low for ball. Koufax beat Fisher 2-1 in a complete game appearance here, the first time the Mets came in this year. A swing and a miss. 2-1. And it was a game that was won by the Dodgers in the ninth inning. The Mets had a good shot at winning that one. Here's 2-1 pitch, and it's swung on and missed. It's 2-2. In that game, the Mets had 4 hits off Koufax. Then when he beat Al Jackson 5-0 at Shea Stadium, the Mets had 5 hits. Here's 2-2 delivery. Swung on and missed, and it's the first strikeout for Sandy Koufax. The Mets are out in order with no runs, no hits, no errors, none left. And of course, the end of a half inning is the Mets nothing and the Dodgers coming to bat. Are you one of those people who go to a German-American picnic and can't sing because you don't know the words? Then listen.
Wir kommen alle in den Himmel is a song that gets sung over and over at German parties and picnics. Until the singers raise a fearful thirst, then they change their tune. Beer hair is the traditional German call for beer, and often it's Rheingold Extra Dry they call for. In fact, in New York City, where there are more Germans than in all of Heidelberg, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. And Rheingold is doing great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do German Americans like Rheingold? We don't know. But we must be doing something right.
Here at Dodger Stadium, fans are still coming in for this Father's Day doubleheader. And as Ralph pointed out, it's expected to be, in total, a big, big crowd. Maury Wills is coming up now to lead off for the Dodgers against Warren Spahn. Winningest left-hander in the history of this game of baseball. Spahn now with the pitch. And it is bunted up into the air and is coming back out of play. As Canizero couldn't find it, he started moving up the third baseline. It came back near the edge of the warning track. Wills trying to bunt his way on. He's batting right, of course. He has a season's batting average so far this year of 278. He has 13 runs batted in. Wills has stolen 41 bases. Needs 3 hits for a total of 1,000 in his career. This pitch is low for a ball. 1958, Wills was sold by the Dodger organization conditionally to the Detroit Tigers for $35,000. The Tigers sent him back. Here's a pitch swung on and laced into center field for base hit. Back and Maury Wills is on it first. Well, anytime Maury Wills gets on base, that's bad news. Jim Gilliam's coming up. He's a swinger, batting right. Gilliam playing left field these days for the Dodgers. Gilliam is batting 348. He has 2 home runs and 8 runs batted in. All sorts of things have happened to the Dodgers this year that you might expect would affect their standing. It has not. They have remained on top in the National League race. Right now, Willie Davis is out with cartilage trouble. umpire, Ed Varga, behind the plate, is asking the public address announcer to ask that the fans down the left field corner take their coats and sweaters off the railing. Jim Gilliam, batting right-handed, as Warren Spahn is up and set now, and Murray will take his lead at first. Jim Hickman holds against the runner, and Spahn throws over. There was a story in one of the morning papers here today in Los Angeles that revealed how the Dodger pitching staff would hold Wills on if they were playing against him. Here is a pitch low for a ball. And it took them in turn, pointing out what they do. And in essence, what they said was they would certainly not pitch in any rhythm. A fast delivery one time, and a delivery another, and a throw over now and then, and that sort of thing. Spahn up and set, looking right at him. And the pitch is low for a ball. 2-0 now to Gilliam. It was Don Drysdale who said that if he were pitching against him, he'd forget him. Concentrate on the batter, because he said where the great damage is done is that you concentrate so much on Wills that you forget to concentrate on the hitter, and that gets you in trouble, and that certainly has been true of many pitchers in the National League. Here's a throw over, and Wills dives back in safely. He is well ahead of his pace of 1962, and he's still 104 bases. He has 41 to right now. 13 games ahead. Here is a swing and a ground ball. It is taken by Spahn. He goes to McMillan for the fourth. And no relay. And Murray Wills was running on the pitch, and they played hit and run with Wills going. Jim Gilliam smashed the ball back to the mound. It was taken by Spahn. He played to McMillan. Wills was sliding in and got entangled with McMillan, so there was no relay. But now Gilliam becomes the base runner, and Wes Parker is coming up. He also is a switch hitter. First three men in the Dodger batting order today are switch hitters. Play went Spahn to McMillan on Maury Wills. Parker batting right-handed as Gilliam takes his lead, and here's the pitch. A breaking ball in for a called strike to the young first baseman, who is hitting .268. He has two home runs and 16 runs batted in. Parker attended the University of Southern California, but he did not play baseball there. Here's a pitch on its low inside for a ball. His college baseball eligibility had already been exhausted before he got to Southern Cal, so although he attended there, he didn't play, and he was signed by a fellow who was his neighbor at the time, named Charlie Dressen, who was in the employ of the Dodgers. Gilliam takes his lead at first, and here is the pitch to Wes Parker. It's swung on and foul back at first, given a run by Hickman, but this is going to go behind the dugout into seats and out of play.
Parker went to a college that's about 40 miles from here called Claremont College, and they refer to it as the Rich Kids College. And Wes supposedly comes from a family that has quite a bit of money, and they sort of always refer to him as a rich kid. But he's a hard worker and got no money at all to sign a contract. They asked him whether he wanted to play ball or get money. He said play ball.
That's the way it worked out. Charlie Dressen told him, don't worry, he'd make it up later in salary. Here's a 1-2 pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground back to Spahn. He takes it and he goes to Klaus, who makes the force as the throw went a little awry. And Klaus was pulled off but got the foot back on the bag in time to force Gilliam. No relay, of course, as Parker becomes the base runner at first. He's exceedingly fast. So that play went for 1-4. It went from Spahn to Klaus that time. The other one went to McMillan. Now Ron Fairley's up, hitting cleanup. He's hitting .289. He has six home runs and 38 runs batted in. Fairley did play baseball at Southern Cal and was signed for a bonus there. Parker takes his lead. Hickman holds against the runner at first base. Warren Spahn deals a pitch and it's in there for a called strike. Warren Spahn, 44 years of age, has a record against the Dodgers this year of one win and one loss. Spahn's overall record for the season is 4 wins and 8 losses. He beat the Dodgers here on their opening night this season. Here's a throw over, and Wes Parker dives back in safely. Strike one count. to Fairley at the plate. Fairley's playing center field these days with Willie Davis out of the lineup with the cartilage trouble. And the pitch is inside, thrown to first, not in time. On a short hop, it's taken by Hickman. Hickman playing first base with Crane Poole out of the lineup against left-hand pitcher Sandy Koufax. Crane Poole is also having a little back trouble these days, and he's also in something of a batting slump. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled off into the Dodger dugout. 1-2. The Mets have an infield of Jim Hickman at first, Bobby Klaus at second, Roy McMillan at short, and Charlie Smith at third. Ron Svoboda is in left field, Billy Cowan is in center, and Joe Christopher is in right. Now Wes Parker takes his lead at first base. Pitch out, nothing on. 2-2. Start of the morning, there were 24,000 tickets put on sale here at Dodger Stadium. Some box seats, some reserve seats, and mostly general admission seats. And they were being snapped up at a rapid pace. Here's a pitch low and away. It runs full now at 3-2 with two men out, and Wes Parker, the base runner, is first. Now the bleachers are completely filled here. And the upper deck is just about completely filled. There's still a few vacancies down in the left field corner. Right field corner is completely filled up as far as the upper deck is concerned. Here's a throw over. Of course, there are some vacant field boxes, but they're just late arrivals because they're sold. They're sold on a season's basis. There are a couple of sections in the loge deck, down in the right field corner, and one in the left field corner that are not yet filled. Here's a throw over. It's not in time. We're in the bottom half of the first inning. There is no score yet with two men out and a runner at first. Ron checks Parker and throws over again. Not in time. He's trying to keep a short holder knowing that he'll be going on the pitch with the count 3-2, two men out. Roseboro is on deck. The runner goes, and there's a swing and a ground ball to first. Taken by Hickman near the bag. He jogs over, takes the bag, and the side is retired. No runs, one hit. No errors, one left, and the score at the end of an inning is Mets nothing and the Dodgers nothing. The Mets will be coming home Monday night, June 28th. That's a week from tomorrow night. And it'll be a twi-night doubleheader against the Milwaukee Braves of Henry Aaron and Eddie Matthews and company that right now are in second place, 3.5 games behind these league-leading Dodgers. If you'd like to purchase tickets for any of the games of the Mets at Shea Stadium this year, the advance ticket window is open 7 days a week, and it's located at Entrance D at Shea Stadium. It's open from 8 to 6 on weekdays and on weekends from 9 to 5. There is a Met ticket office at the Pennsylvania Station in the Long Island Railroad waiting room. And there's a Met ticket office at the Grand Central Terminal at the foot of the 42nd Street and Vanderbilt Avenue ramp. Those offices open weekdays 8 to 6 and Saturdays 8:30 to 4. There's a Met ticket office at Macy's in Huntington, Long Island, in the Walt Whitman Shopping Center, open during store hours. Reservations can be made for box and reserve seats at any of the Howard Clothes Stores, Child's Restaurants, or Calico Kitchens in the greater New York area. And tickets to all Met games may be ordered by mail. Reserve seats are $2.50 each. Box seats are $3.50 each. You simply add 25 cents to each order for handling and postage. Address your checks and money orders to Met Ticket Office, Shea Stadium, Flushing, New York. For the Mets, right fielder Joe Christopher is up to lead off, facing Sandy Koufax here in the top half of the second inning. First game of a Sunday doubleheader. Here's a pitch in there for a called strike. Start him off with a curveball. Sandy Koufax, a young man from Brooklyn who at one time relied entirely on a blazing fastball and then became a pitcher and developed one of the finest curveballs in the game. Here's a swinging up foul ball into the seats and out of play. Two strike count to Christopher. Ron Svoboda is waiting on deck. You know, everywhere the Mets go now, there'll be one or two writers looking for Ron Svoboda to do a feature story on him. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. First game of a doubleheader in Cincinnati. The Chicago Cubs, 8, and the Cincinnati Reds, 5. A free-swinging affair. 8 innings completed the first game. Here's a big change, and it's hit in the air to center field. Ron Fairley hangs right there, and he makes the catch. A big change of pace. There's one away, and that brings up Ron Svoboda. Lil Abner is hitting 256. He has 13 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Final score of a first game in the American League is up on the message board now, as the Cleveland Indians shut out the Los Angeles Angels 5-0. Sam McDowell, the winner of that first game. Pitch to Svoboda is low and inside for a ball. Marcelino Lopez was the losing pitcher for the Angels, who were limited to two hits by Sam McDowell in his winning effort. Swing at him is 1-1 to Svoboda. Very little wind here at the ballpark at the moment. Flags are just drooping listlessly on the flagstaff in center field. Here's a pitch breaking down into the dirt low, dug out by John Roseberry. 2-1. A few days ago, the Mets had thought that they might be pitching Al Jackson in the second game of today's doubleheader, but yesterday they switched off to Mike Larry. Here's a pitch in for a called strike. It's 2-2. Jackson is scheduled tomorrow night. The Mets will be here tomorrow night and Tuesday night, continuing against the league-leading Dodgers. Payoff pitch. Swung on and missed. Struck him out. Second strikeout for Koufax. Two away here in the top of the second. Jim Hickman's the batter. Jim's hitting 143. He has three home runs and 12 runs batted in. President George Weiss of the Mets joined the club in San Francisco, came down with them last night, and is here this afternoon, seated near the Mets dugout. Box seat. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. And in the same area is Mrs. Casey Stengel. The Stengel home, of course, is in Glendale, here in the greater Los Angeles area, has been for many, many years. Strike one delivery to Hickman, and it is low for a ball, 1-1. No scores yet, and we're in the top half of the second inning. Here's a swing and a ground ball foul back at third, taken by Don Hefner. The end of four innings, first game of a doubleheader of the Pittsburgh Pirates 2 and the San Francisco Giants 1. Bob Friend against Bob Shaw. That one at Candlestick Park. Playing a doubleheader in the Astrodome as well. This afternoon, here is a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. First game in Houston at the end of an inning and a half. The Phillies nothing and the Houston Astros nothing. Jim Bunning against Larry Durker. And it's a single game in Milwaukee going to the bottom of the sixth. The St. Louis Cardinals 5 and the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Bob Perkey against LeMaster, Fisher in the second, Necro in the fifth, Kelly in the fifth, Osinski in the sixth. Koufax looks in to get a sign from Roseboro with the Mets batting two men out, nobody on base in the top of the second. The 1-2 pitch swung out and lofted high down the left field line in foul territory now. Chased over by third baseman Krasuski. Dick Krasuski puts it away. So the side is out in order. Koufax has retired six consecutive batters. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. The score at the end of an inning and a half. The Mets nothing and the Dodgers nothing. You know, it's very hard to sell sheet music in Jamaica. They make up songs whenever they need them, like this.
Having a party, eating rice and peas, dancing happily as you please. Charming lady with a very nice smile. Think I'll talk to her for a while.
Think I'll talk to her for a while.
When Jamaicans get together for a party, the beat is calypso and the songs are made up on the spot.
The party was hilarious as it could be, but in the morning there was news for me. The penny was a man's wedding tune on his wife. The smiling lady is now my wife.
The smiling lady is now my wife.
And when the singer finds his throat a little dry, something refreshing will be improvised. Probably Rheingold beer. In New York City, where there are more different kinds of people than in any other city in the world, more people drink Rheingold Extra Dry than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do Jamaicans like Rheingold? We don't know, but we must be doing something right.
John Roseboro is up for the Dodgers here in the bottom of the second, Warren. Spahn deals the first pitch, and it's low for a ball. The Dodger catcher is hitting .237. He has three home runs and 24 runs batted in. And here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. 1-1. The radio station here in Los Angeles that broadcasts the Dodger games has a Sunday morning show that originates from right here in the press box at Dodger Stadium. It goes on for an hour or so. All sorts of sports news and records. Here's the pitch low and away, and one of the guests this morning was Walter Austin, the manager of the Dodgers, who said he would like to rest Roseboro in the first game if he were absolutely assured that Jackson were not going to pitch the second game. Here's a 2-1 pitch. Swung on it on the ground. A fair ball taken by Hickman behind the bag, and Hickman races over in time for the out. One away. And that brings up Jim LeFevre. LeFevre is hitting .242. He has three home runs and 20 runs batted in. Single game in Baltimore. The Orioles have defeated the Washington Senators on Father's Day, 13-2. Wally Bucker got the win, and Copas took the loss. Frank Howard had a homer, and so did Norm Seaver in that game. LeFevre is a switch hitter, batting right. Here's a swing and a high fly ball in left field. Svoboda comes in, stops, starts again, goes in underneath. He's waiting, and he makes the catch. So there are two men out, nobody on base, a high fly ball, and Al Ferrara is the batter now. Ferrara is hitting .196. He has one home run and seven runs batted in. And last week's three-game set here between the Giants and the Dodgers, Ferrara was out with an injury at one point, and Wally Moon moved in to play left. And the final game of the set, in which Claude Osteen shut the Giants out with one hit. The Dodgers had an outfield of Gilliam in left, Fairley in center, and Moon in right. Pitches inside low for a ball. And people have been saying right along since the start of the season that the Dodgers couldn't win with Tommy Davis out of the lineup. And then they said they certainly couldn't win with both of the Davis boys out of the lineup. But they're on top of 3.5 games, which proves that pitching is a big part of this game of baseball. And here is Bonds, 1-0 delivery. Swung on and fouled off, and the bat slips out of the hand off Ferrara and goes all the way over into the Dodger dugout. That's quite a way. The way you win baseball games is to get more runs and more hits than the other team. That's sort of basic. And if you take a look at the statistics sheet, you'll find that the Dodgers have a team batting average of .250. But their combined opponents have a combined batting average against them of .214. So that's the name of the game. Two away, nobody on base here. Ferrara is a right-hand batter. Warren Spahn dips low into the windup and delivers the 1-1 pitch, and it's swung on and fouled back out of play. 1-2 to the Dodger right fielder. For 33 home dates coming into today's game, the Dodgers have drawn 1,004,234. They're about 55,000 behind last year's attendance totals at this time. Here's a 1-2 pitch. Let up, and it's hit down the line and left, curving over, and it is going a foul ball into the seats down in the left field corner. Svoboda gave it a run. Dick Trusiski on deck for the Dodgers. Great billows of white smoke have been appearing over the horizon that is presumed to be a brush fire in the far reaches of Chavez Ravine. Just about subsided now. Here's a pitch, and it's swung on it in the air to right, and it is Christopher with a long run, still going, and he hauls it down, reaching over his head to pull it down for the out, and the side is out in order. No runs, no hits, nor is none left. Scores the end of two full innings. Is the Mets nothing and the Dodgers nothing. The day that you'll want to remember is the 24th of July, because that is Old Timers Day at Shea Stadium in New York, and three three Hall of Famers are the latest to accept invitations to the Mets Old Timers Day on July 24th. Zach Wheat, Max Carey, and Ed Rouse. The arrival yesterday of the OKs from this trio of all-time outfielders brings to 13 the total who have now accepted for the game. This year, it reunites former New York Giants and Brooklyn Dodgers, who led the league in various departments at one time or the other. Previous acceptances have come in from Roy Campanella, Van Lingle Mungo, Rube Marquard, Babe Herman, Travis Jackson, Don Newcomb, Wes Westrum, Al Schumacher, Eddie Sankey, and Carl Erskine. So add to that now Zach Wheat, Max Carey, and Ed Rausch, and make your plans to be present at Shea Stadium in New York on Old Timers Day, Saturday, July 24th. After the Old Timers game and the ceremonies attended there too, the Mets will meet the Philadelphia Phillies. We're going now to the top half of the third inning, and coming in here is Ralph Kiner.
Thank you, Lindsay, and hi there, everyone. Roy McMillan will lead off for the Mets here against Sandy Koufax. Sandy has retired his first six batters, picking up two strikeouts. Now pitching to his seventh. Roy, a right-hand batter, hitting at 246. And the left-hand pitcher, Koufax, in with a fastball that's called strike one. Sandy appears to have a good fastball here today. He holds the record for strikeouts in daylight, 18. And the next pitch back is outside, a fastball, and one ball and one strike. And the 1-1 pitch. Outside again, it's ball two. Sandy has the record for strikeouts for a nine-inning ball game, both day and night. He did it against the Giants at night for 18, then against the Cubs in the daylight for 18. Now the 1-1 pitch, a foul ball. So the count now at two balls and two strikes. Koufax struck out 18 Giants in the Coliseum in a night ball game, which was won in the bottom half of the ninth by the Dodgers. He struck out three in the ninth inning to get the 18. Two balls and two strikes, and the pitch back is a swing and a miss for strike three. Koufax picking up his third strikeout, getting a fastball by on a 2-2 count. One man away in the top of the third, no score, and it brings up Chris Canizero. Well, Chris finally broke through, and he came up with a run batted in against the Giants in yesterday's ball game. The only run the Mets scored off Juan Marichal. The first run they had scored off Marichal, going back to last year, a total of 32 and two-thirds innings before they broke the ice. Chris with one run batted in now, batting at 189, and he takes the fastball in the outside corner, strike one. Dodgers have the only base hit in the ballgame. That was picked up in the first inning with Maury Wills, the leadoff batter for the Dodgers, single to center field. Pitch back, a curve. It's slowly down to shortstop. Maury Wills in and over to first base for the out. That'll make it two away for the Dodgers in the top of the third. No score, and Warren Spahn will now bat for the first time. Warren batting 138 with two runs batted in. He has four hits and 29 times up. Left-hand batter against the left-hander, Sandy Koufax. Warren is the only left-hand batter in the lineup against Koufax. And he takes a strike as Koufax comes in. It's strike one. Well, the Cubs defeated Cincinnati in the first of their doubleheader, 8-5. The winning pitcher, Bob Buell, he had help from McDaniel and Abernathy. Losing pitcher was Sammy Ellis. Five home runs in the ballgame. A swing and a miss at strike two. For the Reds, Edwards, Harper, and Robinson had home runs. And for the Cubs, Santo with two on and Williams with one on. Two strike pitch, a curveball, swung on and missed, strike three. And Sandy Koufax now picking up his fourth strikeout and retires his side. 1-2-3 all the way through the first three innings for Koufax. And the score at the end of 2.5, the Mets nothing, the Dodgers nothing. And now a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
Viceroy's got the patient's right, not too strong and not too light. All day, that's right.
forget the word? It's Viceroy, a cigarette that's specifically designed to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. If you're a filter smoker, you've already discovered some brands taste too strong, as if they didn't even have a filter, and others taste too light. You know the kind. They never seem to satisfy your taste. But do you know about Viceroy? Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the filter for the taste that's right. When you try them, you'll agree. Viceroy's got the taste that's right.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Not too strong and not too light. The taste that's right.
Dodgers up in the bottom half of the third. Now scoring, the first man will be Dick Brzezinski. He'll be followed by Sandy Koufax and then Maury Wells. Warren Spahn on the mound for the Mets, making his attempt at winning 361 in his Major League career. He is tied for sixth in all-time wins, trying to get into that position all by himself. His first pitch is a called strike to Brzezinski. Dick, a right-hand batter, hitting 227. And Spahn now back again. And he bounces one slowly over the pitching mound. Coming in is Bobby Klaus. He underhands to first base after making the catch, and he gets his man. Fairly routine play. The ball hit very slowly. A good high hop for Bobby. He just had to hurry the play. That brings up Sandy Koufax. Listen to the hand. Sandy's hand is not for his hitting prowess. Although he's had more hits this season than he has ever had in his Major League career, he has a total of 9. Right-hand batter. And Koufax now swings and fouls the first pitch. It's strike one. Ball going over the top and into the second deck. He's caught there by a fellow with a red baseball cap. Wind up and back again, and he's inside. It's one ball and one strike. Koufax has been up 47 times this year with 9 base hits. He's batting 191, has driven in 2 runs, had 1 extra base hit. That was a 2 base hit. And the pitch back is a curve, a swing for strike 2. 1 ball, 2 strikes, no score. 1 man out, the bottom half of the third. The first of 2. And Spahn now back again, and the pitch is hit foul over toward the Dodger dugout. Count holding at 1 ball and 2 strikes. All the stands have filled in out in the far left field areas. And we have a big crowd on hand here for Father's Day. It'll be somewhere around 50,000. 1-2 pitch is taken outside, so the count moves up to 2 balls and 2 strikes. Dodgers were the only hit. Their first man up, Maury Wells, with a single to center field. 2-2 pitch. A swing and a miss and a curveball. And Warren Spahn picks up his first strikeout. That also is his second out. And we go to the top of the batting order. Maury Wells will be coming in. Maury 1-for-1. He's batting now at 281. Needs 2 more base hits to have 1,000 in his Major League career. On a final score, the Twins scored 2 runs in the top of the ninth to defeat the Yankees 6-4. Worthington was the winning pitcher in relief. Tiefenauer, the loser in relief. Jim Hall had a home run along with Killebrew for the Twins, and Roger Maris had one for the Yankees in the seventh with a man on. First pitch to Maury, a called strike. Pasquale was the starting pitcher for the Twins. He was relieved by Posnow. Then Worthington. Jim Cott finished up in the ninth. Mel Stoudemire, the starting pitcher for the Yankees. Change up, hit slowly in the hole. A tough play for McMillan. Can he make it? There's the throw, and it's not in time. Making a perfect play in the ball, but Maury Wills using the speed to beat it out. So Maury now only one hit away from 1,000. He is 2 for 2 in the ballgame. And he is on at first base with 2 men away. And once again, the action starts. Morey with 41 stolen bases. He did not steal his first time up and was forced to second base on a hit and run play. Now Wills leading off at first. He has about a 5-step lead. And no throw there. The pitch to the plate is hit high in the air. Ron Svoboda running around to it. He calls for it, and he makes the play to retire the side. No hits, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left for the Dodgers in the bottom half of the third. And the score at the end of 3, the Dodgers nothing, the Mets nothing. And here's a very sad French-Canadian song about a fellow who lost the key of his clarinet. Listen. We have a big crowd on hand here for Father's Day. It'll be somewhere around 50,000.
1-2 pitch is taken outside, so the count moves up to 2 balls and 2 strikes. The Dodgers with the only hit, their first man up, Maury Wills, with a single to center field. 2-2 pitch, a swing and a miss and a curveball, and Warren Spahn picks up his first strikeout. That also is his second out. Then we go to the top of the batting order, and Maury Wills will be coming in. Maury 1-for-1, he's batting now at 281. Needs 2 more base hits to have 1,000 in his major league career. On a final score, the Twins scored 2 runs. In the top of the ninth to defeat the Yankees 6-4. Worthington was the winning pitcher in relief. Tiefenauer, the loser in relief. Jim Hall had a home run along with Killebrew for the Twins, and Roger Maris had one for the Yankees in the seventh with a man on. First pitch to Morey, a called strike. Pasquale was the starting pitcher for the Twins. He was relieved by Fosnow. Then Worthington. Jim Cott finished up in the ninth. Now Salomar, the starting pitcher for the Yankees. Change up, hit slowly in the hole. A tough play for McMillan. Can he make it? There's a throw. It is not in time. Roy McMillan making a perfect play in the ball, but Maury Wills using the speed to beat it out. No Maury now, only one hit away from 1,000. He is 2-for-2 in the ballgame. And he is on at first base with 2 men away. And once again, the action starts. Morey with 41 stolen bases. He did not steal his first time up and was forced to second base on a hit and run play. Now Wills leading off at first. He has about a 5-step lead. And no throw there. The pitch to the plate is hit high in the air. Ron Svoboda running around to it. He calls for it. And he makes the play to retire the side. Low hits, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left for the Dodgers in the bottom half of the third. And the score at the end of 3, the Dodgers nothing, the Mets nothing. And here's a very sad French-Canadian song about a fellow who lost the key of his clarinet. Listen.
J'ai perdu le dos de ma clarinette is a song with the kind of humor French Canadians love. But one song leads to another, and the first that follows is no laughing matter. Is what they'll sing as they reach for a beer, probably Rheingold Extra Dry. In fact, in New York City, where there are more different kinds of people than in any other city in the world, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do French Canadians like Rheingold? We don't know, but we must be doing something right.
So far in the game, 3 innings behind, and the score tied at nothing-nothing.
Dodgers with the two hits in the ball game, and Sandy Koufax all set to go to the top of the batting order. He retired his first nine in order. Sandy picking up four strikeouts. Billy Cowan, the first man up for the Mets. He'll be followed by Bobby Krause and then Johnny Smith. Billy, after fouling off many pitches, popped to second base his first time up. And he hits the first pitch in the air in foul territory. It's playable, possibly, for Krasuski's over by the dugout. He can't make it as he goes down into the dugout. He comes out. He's okay. The ball hitting on top of the cement dugout, bouncing high in the air and then bouncing back on the field. Take a good try. Ball just going out of his reach as he went down into the dugout. Maury Wills now talking with Bill Jankowski, the third base umpire. Now Maury back to his shortstop position. Billy Cowan with a one-strike count. Billy with one home run and three runs batted in this year for the Mets. And the first pitch back after the foul ball is too low. It's ball one. Now a swing and a curveball. Strike two. Sandy Koufax with a big curveball. He has that great fastball, has a good curve with it, and fine control. And back again to Cowan with a fastball. It's fouled away. Sandy taking the ball and rubbing the shine off. He has tremendously large hands, long fingers, longer than any I've seen. Now again, it's pitched back. Koufax is fouled back. Well, Billy making Koufax work as he fouls the ball away. His first time up when Koufax pitched against the Mets in Shea Stadium, he fouled off six pitches before he finally popped to third. And once again, Koufax back to work. This time, a third ball is looked at. Strike three. Strikeout number five for Koufax. And with one away in the top of the fourth and no score, the batter will be Bobby Krause. Bobby fouled out to the catcher's first time up. He's batting 205, a right-hand batter. One home run, eight runs batted in. The first pitch to Krause is fouled away. A fastball at strike one. Dodgers in their last game went over the 1 million mark for the first time this year. They have drawn 1,004,234 in 33 days. Curve by Koufax too low. The count one ball, one strike. Dodgers becoming the first club in the major leagues to go over the 1 million mark. Mets are right around the three-quarter million mark with much less dates played. Pitch back is too high, a fastball. The count at two balls, one strike. Mets have drawn 719,942 in 25 dates. Eight less than the Dodgers. 2-1 pitch is fouled back. A fastball again. So the count moves up to 2-2. Balls, two strikes on Bobby Krause. The on-deck batter, Charlie Smith. Mets looking for their first hit. One man out in the top of the fourth. And the next pitch by Koufax is high. A good fastball just above the letters. And the count fills out to 3-2. Koufax has retired his first 10 batters. Right now, 3-2 on Bobby Krause. And the pitch. It is taken high, ball four. And the Mets have their first base runner. Well, 1 year ago today, it was Jim Bunning who pitched a perfect no-hit, no-run game. That can't happen a year later as the Mets have a runner at first base. Charlie Smith, the batter. Charlie struck out swinging his first time up. He was the first strikeout victim for Sandy Koufax. That came in the first. Charlie batting 269 with eight home runs and 26 runs batted in. And the runner goes. The pitch is fouled away. It run play tried by the Mets, but the ball fouled off at strike one. Again on Charlie Smith. Koufax looks at first base and goes there with a little lob throw. A calling card throw, it's no play at all. Just sort of something to take off attention. Now Klaus again off, and the pitch to the plate is hit high in the air, in the infield. First baseman Wes Parker calling for it. Wes right on the line and into fair territory to make the catch. 2 minutes away as Klaus stays at first base, and it brings up Joe Christopher, who flied out to center field his first time up. Joe batting .263 with two home runs and 24 runs batted in. No score in this ball game. We're in the top of the fourth with 2 men out. Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale to be the pitchers for the Dodgers in the doubleheader. And for the Mets, it'll be Bond and Larry. Pitch to first base is just a little lob throw, a little toss over there. And again, Klaus back with no trouble. Now Koufax sets again. And his pitch to the plate is a curveball. It's hit in the air in a shallow right field. A long run by the right fielder, Al Pilar, and he makes the catch. Every time it's aside, the Mets get their first base runner, leaving them at first base. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one walk. And the score at the end of 3.5, the Mets nothing, the Dodgers nothing. Say, it's hard to imagine New York City without every kind of jazz, from Dixieland to progressive. Fortunately, you don't have to. Listen.
That's Backstreet Rag, a uniquely American sound. It came up the Mississippi out of New Orleans with the Negro jazz men who played it to the world. But they didn't stop with Dixieland and the blues. Little David's Fugue by John Lewis is a new sound that's part of a new generation. But whether it's the old jazz or the new, it's thirsty work for the musicians. And when they put down their instruments, they'll pick up a cold beer, often Rheingold Extra Dry. In fact, in New York City, where there are more kinds of jazz than in any other city in the world, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. Why do so many people like Rheingold? We don't know, but we must be doing something right.
Wes Parker, the leadoff for the Dodgers in the bottom half of the fourth. No score in the ballgame. Wes batting for the second time. And Warren Spahn, who has given up 2 hits, goes into the windup, and his first pitch is too low. It's ball one. Warren gave up a base hit to Maury Wills in the first, and then Maury got the second one in the third. Parker batting at .266. He has 2 home runs and 16 runs batted in. One of the switch hitters in the Dodger lineup, and he swings and hits a one hopper to Charlie Smith at third. Charlie over to first base, and it's out number one. The throw Spahn picks up his first out here in the bottom half of the fourth. It brings up Ron Fairley, who is playing in center field. Two Davis boys out of action for the Dodgers right now. Tommy Davis possibly out for the season with a broken ankle. Roy Davis out with a fairly slight injury. He'll be back in, they expect, any day. Pitch to Ron Fairley by Spahn is outside. It's ball one. Ron, a left-hand batter, hitting .288. 6 home runs and 38 runs batted in. He leads the club in both departments. And Spahn now back with a changeup. It drops in. A perfect pitch. 1 ball, 1 strike. Warren taking plenty off that one. He held on to the string for a long time. Warren Spahn's changeup at times almost a blooper pitch. A la Rip Sewell or Bobo Newsom, they both threw high ones. Now the 1-1 delivery, a curveball topped out toward the mound. Spahn in to pick it up. He'll have to hurry. He gets there in time. Spahn taking a lot of time, and then he had to rush his throw to Jim Hickman for the second out.
skimming away in the bottom half of the fourth and brings up the catcher, Johnny Roseboro. John was out in a fine play by Hickman his first time up. Roseboro batting 236, a left-hand batter. Three home runs and 24 runs batted in. One of the home runs against the Mets. That was in the ball game that Drysdale won with a home run. Dodgers winning 2-1. That was against Warren Spahn. And Warren now into the windup. His pitch to Roseboro. Hit slowly down towards second base. Bobby Klaus over in front. He picks it up, goes to first base, and Warren Spahn gets the side out in order. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on, and the score. At the end of four, the Mets nothing, the Dodgers nothing. And once again, here's Lindsey Nelson.
Okay, Ralph, we'd like to call the attention of Mets fans to some of the dates that are coming up. For instance, when the Mets come off this road trip, it'll be a week from tomorrow night, Monday night, June 28th, and it'll be a twi-night doubleheader with the Mets and the Milwaukee Braves, led by Henry Aaron, Eddie Matthews, Joe Torre and company. And that will be Variety Club night. Yogi Berra, as honorary chairman, will kick off the drive to establish a Variety Children's Heart Hospital in the New York Medical College. Ethel Merman will entertain between games, and there'll be other entertainment that we'll be telling you about from time to time. Saturday, July 3rd, there'll be a night game between the Mets and the world champion, St. Louis Cardinals, and that will be Kiwanis Club night. Monday, July 5th, there'll be a holiday doubleheader between the Mets and the Chicago Cubs, led by Ernie Banks and Ron Santo. That'll be King Corn Day, and there'll be a drawing between ends for valuable prizes. Then Friday, July 9th, the Mets will meet the Houston Astros in a night game, and that will be date night. Wives or dates accompanied by a male escort will be admitted to the general admission section for 50 cents. There'll be a Dixieland band and other entertainment. And Saturday, July 24th, as we were telling you a moment ago, will be Old Timers Day, and that will be before a game between the Mets and the Phillies. So, if you'd like to mark down some of those dates for future reference, there'll be big days at Shea Stadium in New York. And the top of the fifth now, the Mets are coming up to face Sandy Koufax. The Mets do not have a hit off Koufax. He pitched a no-hitter against the Mets here in 1962. Sandy Koufax, left-hander, working the right-hand batter, Swoboda. Last time up, he struck him out. Well, it's funny. Back to the mound, and it's an easy play for Koufax. He lobs on in time. As Swoboda had an idea of bunting his way on, but instead he just bunted the ball right back to the mound. So there is one away. When you get to about this point on a no-hitter, then if you have a man who is adept at the arts, you try perhaps to bunt your way on. Jim Hickman's up now, and he's been up one time and fouled out to third base. Last year, Koufax pitched a no-hitter against the Phillies. Here is the pitch, and it's in there for a called strike. No score in this game as yet. Mets have had only one base runner off Koufax, and that was Bobby Klaus who drew a walk. Here is a pitch, and it's low for a ball, 1-1. Koufax has struck out 5 and walked 1. And here is the 1-1 delivery. Third ball, and it's hit deep to left center, way back. It is going, and this one has gone into the seats. So a home run for Jim Hickman. A home run at Dodger Stadium, and that is something of an achievement. And there's a young fella with a Mets sign over his head jumping up and down and bouncing around in joy down in the aisle. As Jim Hickman, with his fourth home run of this season, has put the Mets out in front by a score of 1-0. Hickman hit all three of his previous home runs at Wrigley Field in Chicago. One off Cal Coots, one off Bob Buell, and one off Lindy McDaniel. And now he has hit one off Koufax to put the Mets out in front by a score of 1-0. The first hit for the Mets off Koufax coming with one out in the fifth. Now Roy McMillan swings and misses for strike one. Not many home runs are hit at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, and Hickman leaned on that one and sent it into the left field bleachers between the 380 and 390 signs. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. McMillan's been up one time and was a strikeout victim. First game of a Sunday doubleheader here at Dodger Stadium.
And the pitch is outside for a ball. 1-2 now to Roy McMillan, batting number 7 in Casey Stengel's batting order. This is a 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball in there for a call strike for a good curveball. Strikeout number 6 for Colfax. This is the 12th season coming up at the Jones Beach Theater. It's going to be the best ever, so why don't you plan to go out and see Mardi Gras, Guy Lombardo's new musical spectacular at Jones Beach. Chris Canizero is up. Went up one time and he grounded out short to first. This pitch is high for a ball. Same umpiring crew that worked the doubleheader at Shea Stadium in New York between the Mets and Dodgers last Sunday. Here's a pitch high for a ball. 2-0 the count. And the scheduled umpire behind the plate in the second game will be Chris Belakoudis, who worked behind the plate in the second game last Sunday. Koufax with a 2-0 pitch. And it's in there for a called strike. 2-1 now. Canizero yesterday drove in his first run of the season. Drove in McMillan, who had doubled. It was a single for Canizero, and it was the only net run of the day off Marichal. Here is the pitch, high and away. 3-1 now to Canizero with Warren Spahn kneeling on deck. It was overcast most of the morning, and it is still somewhat. It is not bright and clear, but the sun is shining brightly enough to lighten things up. Here is a swing and a miss. Full count now, 3-2 to Canizero. When the Mets got here last night, it was just about as cool here in Los Angeles as it had been in San Francisco. A little cool and windy when the Mets landed at International Airport here in Los Angeles. Here's a payoff pitch. Swung on and fouled back. Out of play, count holds full at 3-2. Usually, when the Mets fly charter flights, they fly DC-6Bs or 7s. But because of circumstances, last night, they flew a 720 jet charter down from San Francisco as the airline happened to have it there due back here. Here's a payoff pitch, and it's low, and Canizero has drawn a walk on a fastball. So Canizero goes to first with two men out, and Warren Spahn's coming up. Spahn's been up one time and was a strikeout victim. Let's get the third base runner of the game. The Mets are leading 1-0 here in the top half of the fifth inning. Koufax and Spahn dueling. Canizero leads, and here's the pitch. Swung out and missed. Bonnie taking a rip, and it's strike one. This ballpark is very nearly filled. Fans are still coming in. Here's the pitch, and it's swung on and fouled out into the seats in the left field corner, out of play. We pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
WGY is Schenectady, the voice of the Mets in the great Northeast.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at Dodger Stadium, and here's the pitch to Spahn. It is swung on and missed. Strikeout number 7 for Sandy Koufax in this game. Second time he struck out Spahn, but the Mets got a run on a hit. No errors and one left. And the score at the end of 4.5 innings is the Mets 1 and the Dodgers nothing. Now it's time for another unusual fact from the Viceroy Hall of Records. Today's story could be called a batter's nightmare. When Frank Chance was playing for Chicago, he reached base 5 times in one game. But Frank wasn't doing the hitting. He was hit with 5 pitch balls. And now let's turn to a more pleasant subject and talk about Viceroy. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. You know why? Because Viceroy is specifically designed to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, like some brands that taste as if they didn't have a filter, and not too light, like some others. You know the kind. They just don't seem to satisfy your taste. But when you light up a Viceroy, You get the filter cigarette that's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the filter for the taste that's right.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Not too strong and not too light. The taste that's right.
In the bottom half of the fifth inning, the Dodgers are scheduled to send up Jim LeFever, Al Ferrara, and Dick Trusisky to face Warren Spahn. So far, the Dodgers have had two hits off Spahn and both by leadoff man and captain Maury Wills. In the National League, in the first game of a doubleheader, the Cubs beat the Reds 8-5 as Buell got the win and Ellis took the loss, homered by Robinson, Santo, Harper, Edwards, and Williams. In the second game, it's Dick Ellsworth against Jim O'Toole. Right now, LeFever's up, batting right, and here's a pitch high and away for a ball. Pirates are leading the Giants 2-1 through six. Bob Friend against Bob Shaw, first game of a doubleheader. In the 3.5 innings, Houston is leading Philadelphia 2-0. Jim Bunning against Larry Decker, first game of a doubleheader. Here's a big change, and it's in there for a called strike, 1-1. In a single game, the Cardinals 6, the Milwaukee Braves 2, going to the ninth inning. Turkey relieved by Woody Schick in the 8th, LeMaster, Fisher, Necro, Kelly, Osinski, and Odell from Milwaukee. Homered by Gagliano, Aaron, and Jones. There's a swing and a ground ball off the glove. Spahn taken by McMillan, thrown on inside. So LeFever has grounded out. That will bring up Ferrara. Ferrara has been up one time, and he flied out to right field. Spahn starts the motion. Pitch to the right-hand batter. He is low for a ball. Waiting on deck, Dick Trusisky. This is a 1-0 pitch. Swung on and missed. It's 1-1. The arrangement of the decks here at Dodger Stadium is similar to that at Shea Stadium in New York. I suppose we should say the arrangement at Shea Stadium is similar to that at Dodger Stadium in that this stadium was built first. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swung on and foul back to first. It's going into the seats and out of play. There is one feature here at Dodger Stadium that is unique and that it is not present in any other ballpark in the country, and that is the dugout boxes that are available to the customers. They are at the same level as the dugout and extend right on around. They are actually below, partially below ground level. It's an idea that the Dodger management picked up from various stadia in Mexico where bullfights are held, and so they decided to incorporate it here. As it's worked out very well. It is said that they are among the worst possible seats from which to see a ball game. Because, of course, the dugout is a pretty bad place from which to see a ball game. But it's worked out in another manner we'll tell you about in a moment. Here's a 1-2 pitch to Ferrara. And it's inside low, 2-2. When Dodger Stadium was first opened, various people from the world of show business had seats behind the dugouts, movie stars and the like, and of course they got pestered a good deal by people wanting autographs. So now they've discovered that if they take the dugout boxes, that they are down there sort of isolated and can't be bothered. So it's worked out that way. Here's a 2-2 pitch, and it's low. The count goes full now to Al Ferrara with one man out. So a good deal of the movie stars and television stars now buy their season's boxes at the dugout level. Here is Spahn with a payoff pitch. Went on and ripped foul. A line shot into the seats beyond the Dodger dugout. Took a lot off of that one. Ferrara had his swing time perfectly. Got around and pulled it, but he ripped it. Count holds full at 3-2. And now the payoff pitch. fouled it off, and he's still alive. That one came back. Nick Canizero first, and then Vargo. Got them both. Count continues 3-2. There are a few vacant seats at the Lowe's level down in the right field corner beneath the stadium club, and that's about it as we look around the ballpark. Just about everything else is filled to overflowing. 3-2 pitch. Swung on and missed, and Spahn gets his second strikeout. And that will bring up Dick Trzaski. Ed Vargo indicated that it was tipped back into the glove of Canizero, and Ferrara turned around quickly to see if it had been dropped, and then asked Vargo, and he said, "No, you have struck out." Trzaski grounded out second to first in the third inning. Trzaski chokes up on the bat and goes into a crouch right up on top of the plate. Moira Spahn starts the motion. He has a swing and a ground ball deep in the hole. Backhanded by McMillan. The long throw, and in time now. Same play a moment ago. He didn't get Wills, but he got Trzaski this time. As Roy McMillan backhanded the ball and got enough on it for the out. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. Score at the end of five full innings is the Mets 1, the Dodgers nothing. Well, Jim Hickman's home run provided the margin so far. And you can find out all about Hickman and his baseball career in the 1965 revised edition of the Mets yearbook. There are up-to-date facts and figures on the Mets. Of course, from time to time during the course of a season, the personnel of a ball club changes, and for that reason, the yearbook is revised from time to time to try to get it up to date. There are lifetime records of the Mets, including the first-year Mets. Special sections on Yogi Berra and Warren Spahn is pitching here today. So pick up the new 1965 Mets yearbook. All you have to do is send 50 cents to Mets Yearbook, Shea Stadium, Flushing, New York. Repeating the address, Mets Yearbook, Shea Stadium, Flushing, New York. Grounds crew has come out now to drag the infield after five innings. The five inning totals in this game for the Mets, one run on one hit and no errors. For the Dodgers, no runs on two hits and no errors. In the American League today, the first game for doubleheader in New York, the Minnesota Twins beat the Yankees by a score of 6-4. Al Worthington, the winner in relief. Bob Tiefenauer, the loser in relief. Jimmy Hall had a homer. Armin Killebrew had a homer. And Roger Maris had a homer. In the second game, it's Boswell against Downing. Cleveland shut out the Angels 5-0. Sam McDowell pitching a two-hitter over Marcelino Lopez. In the second game, they're going to the bottom of the fifth. The Angels leading 1-0. Dean Chance against Lee Sang. Willie Smith homered in the second with nobody on for the Angel run. Going to the bottom of the ninth, it's Boston 3 and the Chicago White Sox 3. At the end of five innings, Detroit 12 and Kansas City 8. A slugfest. Here's a swing and a fly ball to center field. Fairley goes back and he makes the catch. Billy Cowan. The first start of the inning, and that brings up Bobby Clown. Baltimore Orioles beat the Washington Senators 13-2 today. Wally Bunker over Compass. Howard and Seaver had homers. Right here, the Mets are leading the Dodgers by a score of 1-0 in the second game today. Don Drysdale will go against Frank Larry. Here's a pitch inside low for a ball. 1-0. And the pitch is in for a called strike to Bobby Klaus. It's 1-1. Klaus became the first base runner off Koufax when he drew the walk in the top of the fourth. 1-1 delivery. Swung on and ripped to short. Taken there for the out by Maury Wills. Wills was ready to leap. He had gone into his crotch to leap and didn't have to as the line drive sank down to it. So there are two men out. Both the balls well hit. The one by Cowan and the one by Klaus. Two away and Charlie Smith coming up. Struck out swinging and popped out to first base. One of the Los Angeles papers today in the Sunday edition in the sports section had a Met cartoon on every page. It was titled, The Mets Are Back, each one of the cartoons. Pitch is low for a ball, 1-0. And the 1-0 pitch to Charlie Smith, swung on and fouled back, out of play. Into the press deck. Down to 1-1. Koufax getting settled down on the mound before getting ready to work again. Now the 1-1 pitch. Breaking ball, it's in there. 1-2. The Mets have one hit off Koufax, and it was a homer by Hickman. 1-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the seats, out of play. Count holds it 1-2 to Charlie Smith. A colorful crowd here, as it usually is in Los Angeles. 1-2 pitch, swung on and missed, and strikeout number 8 for Sandy Koufax. This ball game, as he gets the side in order, no runs, no hits, no errors, not allowed. Towards the end of 5.5 is the Mets 1 and the Dodgers nothing. If you're wondering what kind of a song goes with Sorpresate and Salchichi, listen to this.
Sete Mamita is sure to be sung when Italian-Americans get together. And spicy pizza rustica will be served. The inevitable result is a fiery thirst. This song brings on the beer, probably Rheingold. In New York City, where there are more Italians than in Naples, more people drink Rheingold Extra Dry than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do Italian Americans like Rheingold? We don't know, but we must be doing something right.
In the bottom half of the seventh inning, Sandy Koufax is up to lead off for the Dodgers. He's a right-hand batter. Warren Spahn dips into the motion, and here's the pitch. Swung on and missed the strike one. Koufax struck out swinging in the bottom half of the third. Spahn has struck out only two. He struck out Koufax, and he struck out Ferrara. Now Spahn again with the pitch, and it is inside low. And Koufax started to go and laid off. It's 1-1 to him. Sandy Koufax, native of Brooklyn, attended the University of Cincinnati, where he was at that time primarily a basketball player. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. It's 1-2. Now Spahn with a 1-2 delivery. Screwball low and away, and it's 2-2. Wills is waiting on deck. Wills is 2-for-2 in this game. The 2-2 pitch to Koufax. Swung on and line to first. Taken on a short hop by Hickman. He goes to the bag for the out. He's right off the end of the bat. A lot of English on it. Was spinning down to first, and Hickman took it on a short hop and then jogged to the bag for the out on assisted. Maury Wills is coming up. They spun up the middle for a base hit, leading off in the bottom of the first, and hit the ball into the hole at short. McMillan made a perfect play on it in the third inning, but just not in time to get Wills, who beat it out. The Dodgers have two hits off Spahn. Wills has them both. They have him, of course, turned around as a switch hitter on the right side, which takes away a couple of steps from him. Against the left-handed Spahn. Here's the pitch, and it's bunted down to first baseline. Hickman takes it, goes to the base path, and tags Maury Wills. Wills tried to bunt his way on, hoping to get that one over, the way he could make Hickman play it far from the bag and beat him to it, but Didn't get it exactly where he wanted. Hickman made the play in time, and there are two men out with Jim Gilliam coming up. Switch hitter batting right. He's hit into a forced play and slide to left so far. The long history of the Dodgers and their pitching staff, this is the first day that Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale ever combined to work a doubleheader. And the pitch to Gilliam is inside low for a ball. Actually, Drysdale was held over. He was in his regular turn, would have worked yesterday. Here's the 1-0 pitch. And it's low for a ball, 2-0. Instead, Nick Wilhite, with help from Ron Baranowski, shut out the Bills yesterday. We're in the bottom half of the sixth inning. First game of the doubleheader. Mets won, the Dodgers nothing. There's a breaking ball in there for a called strike. 2-1 to Jim Gilliam. You can tell how far a man goes back as a Dodger fan as to what he calls Gilliam. If you call him Junior, you're an old Dodger fan. Here's 2-1 pitch. Swung on and lied on the left field on a foul ball. Cut around, ripped it foul. 2-2 to got to Gilliam. 1956, Gilliam set the current National League record for assists by a second baseman in a game of 12. Yesterday, Chuck Hiller of the Mets had 11. Here's the 2-2 delivery. High for a ball, so the count runs full now at 3-2 to Jim Gilliam. With two men out and nobody on base. Spahn reads the sign of Chris Canizero. This is a 3-2 pitch. And loops that into left. It's going to be in there for a base hit for Jim Gilliam. Drives by Cowan. He bare hands the ball. Gilliam takes a wide turn, goes back to first as the throw comes in. It is the third hit for the Dodgers off Warren Spahn. A looping single to left center, and it brings up Wes Parker, also a switch hitter batting right. It was a 3-2 pitch that Gilliam hit. Spahn has struck out two and walked none in this game. The Mets lead by a score of 1-0. The Dodger fans, and there are a lot of them here, start rhythmic applause. Pitch is high for a ball. Parker swings the bat as he waits. Gilliam leads it first. Hickman holds against the runner. And the 1-0 delivery is inside. Ron goes behind 2-0 now to Wes Parker. Ron Fairley waiting in the on-deck circle. This is the last scheduled doubleheader for the Dodgers here at Dodger Stadium this year. They don't play many doubleheaders. Gilliam takes his lead. 2-0 pitch. Missed high and away. So now Spahn goes behind 3-0 to Parker, who's barely waiting around. It's a pleasantly comfortable afternoon. It isn't humid. It isn't hot. Set. 3-0 pitch. And it's in there for a call strike. He was taking all the way at 3-1. Preston Gomez, the coach at third, looks into the dugout to get a sign to tell Parker whether he's free to swing away on this pitch. Manager Walter Austin up on the dugout steps, looking out onto the field. Ken Gilliam leads. And the pitch is high. He was taking it. Ball four. Target at first with the first base on ball dishing by Spahn. Canizero goes out to start going. Gilliam moves to second. First time today the Dodgers have had a runner as far as second base. Two men out and Ron
apparently the cleanup man is the batter. He has grounded out to first base and grounded out pitcher to first so far. Barely hitting 287 for the season with six homers and 38 runs batted in. So the Dodgers fans are excited about this situation. The Mets are leading by a score of 1-0. Check runners first and second, and the pitch to the left hand batter is hit in the left field, and Komoda is able to catch it first. He sits down, gets up the coast by him, one run has scored, two runs have scored, barely holds it second, and the Dodgers lead by a score of 2-1.
First time today the Dodgers have had a runner as far as second base. Two men out, and Ron Fairley, the cleanup man, is the batter. He has grounded out to first base and grounded out Tucci to first so far. Fairley hitting 287 for the season with six homers and 38 runs batted in. So the Dodger fans are excited about this situation. The Mets are leading by a score of 1-0. Check runners first and second, and the pitch to the left hand batter is hit into the end of left field, and Komoda held a catch this way. And he sits down, the second goes by him, one run is scored, two runs is scored, barely holds it second, and the Dodgers lead by a score of 2-1.
Down, but by that time, with two men out, Gilliam had scored from second, Parker had scored from first, and Fairley was at second with a double. Dodgers lead 2-1. And now Roseville is the batter. Here's the pitch to him, and it's low for a ball. So quickly, the Los Angeles Dodgers have taken the lead in this game. Here in the bottom half of the sixth inning. Roseville is nothing for two so far. Swan deals the pitch to him. Hit on the ground. Foul. Rolling back. A count of 1-1. Galen Sisco is throwing in the Met bullpen now. Galen Sisco is up and throwing. He would. On Friday night in San Francisco. But not a lengthy stint. He worked four innings. San Francisco. 1-1 to count to Roseboro. And Tom Fitch is in there for a call, strike two. 1-2 to the Dodgers catcher. Ron Fairley takes a lead at second. And the 1-2 pitch. He's in there for a call, strike three. Vaughn strikes on Roseboro to retire the side. Third strikeout for Vaughn. But the Dodgers got two runs on two hits, no walk, no errors, and one left. Score at the end of sixth inning. First game of doubleheader is the Dodgers 2 and the Mets 1. Bob Murphy will be along in just a moment to detail the play-by-play. But first, you know, Yetzi mode isn't something you roll or say, or you sing it like this.
Yetzia Brosz is a song that gets sung over and over at Polish parties and picnics until the singers rave a fearful thirst. Then they change their tune. Piwo is the traditional Polish call for beer, and often it's Rheingold Extra Dry they call for. In fact, in New York City, where there are more poles than in all of Stibnitsa, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do Polish Americans like Rheingold? We don't know. But we must be doing something right.
In the seventh inning, Joe Christopher will be up against Sandy Koufax. The Mets now have fallen a run behind. Sandy has allowed just one hit. That was Jim Hickman's long home run to left center up in the bleachers. Now Koufax into his windup. He pitched to Christopher a swing and a miss, strike one. Outside and high. One ball, one strike. Outfield is flagged toward left against Christopher. A check swing and a foul ball back up into the crowd, out of play. Pete Ward's 10th inning home run at Comiskey Park gave the White Sox, they come from behind, a 4-3 win over the Red Sox. So the White Sox stay a half game behind first place Minnesota. Eddie Fisher, who is having a fabulous year in relief, the winning pitcher, he came out of the eighth inning. And Dick Raddatz gave up that game-winning home run to Pete Ward. So both the Twins and the White Sox won the first game of doubleheaders today. Taken high, it's 2-2. Minnesota, with two runs in the ninth inning, beat the Yankees 6-4. Here's the windup, 2-2 delivery, fouled off the mask of Johnny Roseboro. The Dodgers going out in front on a bloop single, a walk, and a solid two-base hit to left by Ron Fairley. Koufax has his sign from Roseboro. The 2-2 delivery is under the knees, ball three. So the string is out, 3-2 on Christopher. Joe has flied to center, flied to right. Ron Swoboda waiting on deck, and then Jim Hickman. 3-2 delivery. Foul fly veering off toward the crowd over behind the visiting dugout. Sandy takes his sign. It's 3-2. Here's the payoff delivery. And it's a foul fly again. Hit down the right field line, running hard toward the Ferrara, but it's out of his reach. Ball landing by the tarp, which is rolled up by the field boxes, down the right field line. Crowd still assembling. Just about every seat taken now. Crowd today here at Dodger Stadium will be in the neighborhood of 50,000. Koufax out of his windup. Here's the pitch. And again, it's fouled off by Joe back into the crowd. So the duel continues between Sandy Koufax and Joe Christopher. Dodgers have an opportunity of gaining ground because Cincinnati lost the first game of a doubleheader to Chicago today. Fly ball into left center field. Moving in is Ron Fairley. He's there, and he makes the catch. Fairley takes the fly, which was hit reasonably deep to left center. Right here we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
WGY is connected to the voice of the Mets in the great Northeast.
Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner from Dodger Stadium. The Mets hitting in the seventh inning and trailing 2-1. Ron Swoboda, a swing and a miss on a high-hard one, strike one. St. Louis leading the Braves 6-2, going to the last of the ninth inning in Milwaukee. Braves in second place, 3.5 games back. A swing and a miss, strike two. Koufax winding the two-strike pitch. Slow curve just outside. 1-2. Ron has been struck out, tried to bunny his way on, and been thrown out, nothing for two. Batting at 253. The 1-2 delivery. Swing and a miss, he struck him out. He threw him an off-speed breaking pitch. That's the nine he got for Sandy Koufax. One more, and he goes into double figures for the 68th time in his career. Now the hitter is Jim Hickman, and Jim puts New York out in front with a home run over the 390-foot mark up into the bleachers in left center field in the fifth inning. Now the pitcher on the way, a high fly ball into center field. Under the ball waiting is Ron Fairley, and he puts it away to Sandy Brown. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. Seventh inning stretch time for the Dodger fans. At the end of 6.5, the score, the Dodgers 2 and the Mets 1. And now it's time for another unusual fact from the Viceroy Hall of Records. In 1922, the Chicago Cubs and the Philadelphia Phils played one of the wildest ball games you'll ever hear about. They almost needed a policeman to direct traffic at home plate. By the end of the game, Chicago had scored 23 runs. But get this, they lost. That's right, because the Phillies scored 26. And if you want to bring home the taste that's right in filter smoking, it's Viceroy. You see, Viceroy is specifically designed to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Viceroy is not too strong, like some brands that taste as if they didn't have a filter. And not too light, like some others. You know the kind. They just don't seem to satisfy your taste. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the filter for the taste that's right.
Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Not too strong and not too light. Not the taste that's right.
Dodgers' seventh inning with second baseman Jim LaFever coming up against Juan Spahn. Dodgers 2 runs, 4 hits, the Mets 1 run, 1 hit. Yesterday it was Jack Fisher dueling Juan Marichal. Here it's Spahn against Koufax. A swing and a miss on a breaking ball, strike one. Spahn has his sign from Canizero. Pitch thrown is outside and high. 1-1. Now Spahn is sighting in on his target. Delivers to LaFever, a drive in the air to center field. Back goes Billy Cowan. He's there, and he makes the catch. Billy Cowan drifting back to take a hard hit line drive, 1 down. This could be a very big ball game for the Dodgers, with Cincinnati already beaten and Milwaukee losing to St. Louis. One out and nobody on. The batter is Al Ferrara. Al has flied to right, been struck out, nothing for two. Fast foul on the ground, right straight back, strike one. A bloop single, a walk, and a solid double hit deep to left, driving 2 runs in for the Dodgers as they went in front in the sixth inning. Inside the high, 1-1 on Al Ferrara.
Sammy Davis, Willie Davis, Lou Johnson, and Wally Moon are all sidelined at the moment. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Hip foul down the third baseline. No play. A changeup. He got too far out in front. So it's one ball and two strikes. Willie Davis was hurt when he collided with Hawk Taylor in a play at first base at Shea Stadium last weekend. He'll probably be out about another week. They really hit together hard. Taylor was flying first in the game, and he had fielded a slow grounder and raced to the bag to beat Willie Davis. High fly hit the right center. Moving in slowly is Joe Christopher, drawing a beat on it. He has it, two men down. Two outs, nobody on. Remember, Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the filter for the taste that's right. We'll bring you right up to date on the scores of all the other ball games at the end of the inning. Dick Trzaski is 0 for 2, and he was robbed his last time up by McMillan. Right-hand batter chokes up on the handle of the bat. 1-1 delivery, laced on a line toward right center. Christopher running for it, dives, rolls over, makes the catch. Diving, somersaulting grab by Joe Christopher of a hard-hit line drive by Dick Trzaski. And there's the play of the ball game by far and away. Beautiful play by Joe Christopher to take a hit away from Dick Trzaski, and had he missed it, had the dive not been in time, that ball would have been rolling back toward the wall in right center field. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. Now seven complete. The Dodgers, two runs, four hits, no errors. New York, one run, one hit, no errors. First game of a doubleheader in Cincinnati. The Cubs beat the Reds 8-5. Buell was the winner and Ellis the loser. Ron Santo and Billy Williams homered for Chicago. Frank Robinson, Tommy Harper, and Johnny Edwards for the Reds. The second game with O'Toole on the mound, the Reds lead 2-0 after two innings. Pittsburgh and the Giants are tied 2-2 going to the last of the ninth inning in the first game at San Francisco. Friend against Shaw. Houston 2, Philadelphia nothing at the end of six in the Astrodome. First game of a doubleheader. Bunting for the Phillies. Ron Taylor has relieved Larry Durker in the seventh inning for the Astros. It's over now in Milwaukee. The Cardinals beat the Braves 6-4. Berkey was the winner, LeMaster the loser. Home runs for St. Louis, Gagliano 2 on, Aaron and Jones connecting for the Braves. Minnesota beat the Yankees 6-4 in the first game, and they got a run in the first inning of the second game by Oswell against Downing. Cleveland blanked the Angels 5-0, a two-hitter for Sam McDowell. The second game is tied 1-1 at the end of six and a half innings. The White Sox with a home run in the 10th by Pete Ward beat the Red Sox 4-3 in the first game, second game not underway. They've got a wild one going in Detroit. The Tigers lead the A's 12-8 at the end of six and a half. Again, the A's led 8-0 after an inning and a half. Roy McMillan batting in the eighth inning, and the fastball is over, strike one. And Baltimore in a single game beat Washington 13-2, a five-hitter for Wally Bunker. Now the pitcher on the way, off the outside corner. Larry Benaroth is now warming up in the Mets bullpen as the Mets get down toward the tail end of the batting order, trailing by a run against Andy Koufax. Foul ball. Slam back toward the crowd. It's 1-2 on Mac. Koufax has walked two, struck out nine. Allowed one run, one hit. The one hit was Hickman's home run. Taken high, it's 2-2. The only right-handed pinch hitter Casey has available is Danny Napoleon. With Koufax pitching the ball game, all of the other right-handers are in the lineup. A swing and a miss, he's striking out. That's the third time Sandy has fanned Roy McMillan, and it's his 10th strikeout of the game. So now, for the 68th time, Koufax has gone into double figures in strikeouts, a major league record. Chris Canizaro, the batter. Chris has bounced to short to run a walk. Randy Whiting down Hemsley's fence, and it's over at the knees for a call strike. On the message board now, they are providing the information that's 10 strikeouts for Sandy Koufax, and that this is the 68th time he has fanned in double figures. High pop-up down the right field line. Ferrara is coming in. Out goes Lefebvre, and Lefebvre takes it near the line in fair territory. Now, Warren Spahn is the scheduled hitter, but Danny Napoleon is down around the bat rack. Danny, the only right-hander that Casey has available in his dugout. And now here comes Napoleon out to bat for Spahn. Napoleon hitting for Warren Spahn. Spahn is out of the ballgame then. Hit brilliantly once again. In seven innings, he allowed two runs, gave up just four hits. Foul ball back. And pitching duels like these, one walk can really kill you. Yesterday, Jack Fisher walked 3 men in the game against Marichal. The first 2 men that he walked eventually came in to score as the Giants won the ballgame 2-1. Today, Spahn walked only 1 man. That was Parker in the 6th inning, and Parker came around to score the Dodgers' 2nd run. Pitch to Napoleon, a swing and a miss, strike 2. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Koufax takes Napoleon out on 3 pitches. He threw the fastball right by. Then he's 11th strikeout. He is really fast today. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. At the end of 7.5, the Dodgers 2 and the Mets 1. If somebody offers you a Sopico, don't eat it. Dance it like this.
Sopico is spirited and lively. It makes Greek Americans feel like dancing, and dance they do, until they work up a fearful thirst. Then they call for different music. Nina Nai Nai is music a Greek drinks to. You'll sit down, call for a beer, probably wrangle extra dry. In fact, in New York City, where there are more Greeks than in all of Sparta, more people drink Rheingold than any other beer. And Rheingold is going great in New Jersey, New England, and Pennsylvania, too. Why do Greek Americans like Rheingold? We don't know. But we must be doing something right.
Last of the 8th inning, Larry Benaroff in relief now for New York. Splendid job by Warren Spahn. Spahn in 7 innings allowed 2 runs, just 4 hits. Gave up 1 walk. That was to Parker. And Parker, one of the fastest of all the Dodgers, raced from first base around to score on Ron Fairley's double down the left field line. And that was the Dodgers' 2nd run. Spahn struck out 3. Spahn's pitching has been getting stronger as the season has gone along. The Mets have not been scoring runs, and Spahn hasn't been winning. But he has not been hit nearly as hard the last 3 weeks as he was for one little stretch there when he was bound for a number of home runs. Sandy Koufax will lead off against Larry Benaroff in the last half of the 8th. Facing Sandy Koufax, Mari Wills, and J. eighth inning. The Mets in the ninth inning will have the top of the batting order coming up. Danny Napoleon, the third out, in the top of the eighth inning, was batting for Warren Spahn. Well, the huge crowd here at Dodger Stadium gives Sandy a warm response as he comes on to hit. Larry Benard in relief for Larry, his 23rd appearance. Here's the windup and the pitch to Sandy. A little bit outside, one ball and no strike. Larry was the winning pitcher in the only game the Mets have won on this road trip, and that was the game they beat Maloney in Cincinnati. A line drive, caught by Bobby Clouse. Leaping grab by Bobby to take a liner hit by Koufax. Maury Wells coming on to hit. Maury has two for three, has two of the four Dodger hits. Maury tried to punt for a third hit in the sixth inning, but was taken out unassisted by Jim Hickman. But Arth into his windup now delivers a Baltimore chop off the plate. It's going to be tough, but Arth racing to cover, out at first base. Larry got there in time to beat Maury Wills, two men down. On Monday, June 28th, when the Mets return home for that doubleheader with the Braves, that also is the date. Larry Benarth and his associates will be opening their Eagle Athletic Camp for boys and girls in Huntington, Long Island. They'll have $250,000 facility opening up, and we certainly want to wish them all the luck in the world. Now, Junior Gilliam batting. Gilliam, one hit in three trips. He got a bat handle bloop hit into short left just beyond the reach of McMillan with one out in the sixth inning, and that led to the two Dodger runs. All one, it's inside. Because after Gilliam got the Texas Leaguer, Spahn walked Wes Parker, and Ron Fairley doubled both men home. Strike on the inside corner. One ball, one strike on Gilliam. Junior hitting 347. What a job he's done. 1-1 delivery. A foul ball back up against the screen. No play. With Spahn and Koufax on the mound, this ball game is in the last of the eighth inning and has been going only an hour and 49 minutes. Delivers 1-2. It is hit high into the air. A fly ball to short left. Swoboda comes in. McMillan goes out. And Swoboda makes the catch. He falls down, but he hangs on to it. Brown was a little uncertain as to whether McMillan had stepped away to let him make the play. Never a dull moment. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. So at the end of eight innings, it's the Dodgers 2 and the Mets 1. You know, sometimes it's hard to believe that so many different kinds of people can agree on one thing. But they have. They've made Rheingold Extra Dry New York City's largest selling beer. Now Walter Alston will put John Kennedy at third base for the Dodgers as we go to the ninth inning. He's quite a glove man. Let's return home a week from Monday for the Twin Bill with the Braves. Tickets are on sale 7 days a week at the event sale window at Interest D at Shea Stadium. In Manhattan, at the Long Island Railroad waiting room at Penn Station at Grand Central Terminal. The ticket window is at the foot of the 42nd Street and Vanderbilt Avenue ramp. On Long Island, tickets are on sale to Mets home games during the regular store hours at Macy's and the Walt Whitman Shopping Center in Huntington, Long Island. off as we go to the ninth inning. The Mets desperately in need of a run. Billy will be honored between games of this doubleheader by friends who have come down from Bakersfield, California. And he pops it up. It's playable outside third. Getting under it is John Kennedy in foul territory. He takes it, and Cowan is out on one pitch. Sandy Koufax bidding for his 11th win of the year against just three losses. If he wins it, it'll be five straight. Last time he lost a ball game, he lost to the Cardinals 2-1 in late May. One out and nobody on. Bobby Klaus batting. Bluffs at a bomb in the fastball is in. Strike one call. The only hit off Koufax was Jim Hickman's home run in the fifth inning. One ball, one strike. A 1-1 delivery. It's over. Bobby checking on the swing. One ball and two strikes. We're in the ninth inning. First game of two. The second game is Drysdale against Larry. What a pitching duel this has been. Now the 1-2 delivery, a swing and a miss. Let him out. Koufax taking out top for the curveball. And that's Sandy's 12th strikeout of the game. That's down to their final out of the ninth inning, trailing 2-1. Charlie Smith's a batter. Charlie has been struck out twice, popped up once. Up by Koufax, in comes his pitch. Fastball at the letters, ball one. Foul ball back to the screen. One ball and one strike. It could be a very profitable day for the Dodgers because the Braves in second place at the start of the day, 3.5 games back, played a single game with the Cardinals and lost it, St. Louis winning 6-4. Third place Cincinnati dropped the first game of a doubleheader to Chicago. A foul ball whacked back upstairs, and now it's one ball and two strikes. Only five men have been left on base in the ballgame. Dodgers have left three, the Mets have left two. The 1-2 delivery. It's hit high in the air, a fly ball to short center. Coming in is Ron Fairley. He slows up. It should be a ball game. Makes the catch and the Dodgers win it. Koufax retired the last 13 hitters in posting his 11th win of the year against just three losses. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left in the ninth. Final score of the Dodgers 2 and the Mets 1, and we'll be back with a recap in just a moment. Say, do you drive a car? Then here's some helpful information for you.
A driving tip from Shell. How safe are your brakes? Why not test them right now while you're driving? You can in this easy on-the-spot road test, courtesy of your local Shell dealer. First, make sure you've got a clear road with nobody behind you. Repeat, nobody behind you. Drive at a good clip and apply your brakes with a nice, firm pressure. Car come to an even stop,